Hello, everybody. This is Garrett Stubblefield with the Field Report. Thank you for tuning in. We got a lot of information that's gone on the last week in the NFL. It's a Monday, August the 19th. Got tons of info coming at you, tons of takes. Going to be breaking down Antonio Brown, Derwin James, Ezekiel Elliott, Eagles signing Josh McCown, and a couple of rookie running backs. If you want to catch it, the week two preseason quarterback evaluations, go to my Instagram page. I got videos for each quarterback, roughly between 2 to 4 minutes long, talking Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray. Might make one on Jarrett Stidham. Haven't broke down the tape for him yet, but let's get going. Came out yesterday. Antonio Brown missed practice on Sunday, and Mike Mayock was not happy. Mike Mayock's an old school dude. He wants to run this franchise the right way, the Bill Belichick way. He wants everyone there, everyone working, and he doesn't want distractions. And this helmet has been nothing but a distraction for these players, these coaches, and this fan base. The Raiders fans just want the season to start. Let's see if Antonio Brown shows up week one. That's why I haven't been talking about it as much, because I feel this is all hoopla of just, you know, the feet and then now the helmet. Everyone just wants to see if he's going to play week one. But Drew Rosenhaus just shot back at Mayock this morning saying they haven't exhausted all their options and they're still looking into getting – he said two helmets approved – they tried to approve a 2011 shoe air advantage, and that got shot down. So he said one was a 2010, one was a 2014. The 2010 is probably going to get shut down. I doubt they got less safer from producing them from 2010 to 2011. Highly doubt they got less safer. So there's that. And then the 2014, we'll see if that one makes it. That one has a chance. You know, that's 3 years more than the one they got approved or got tested by the NFL, which is kind of ridiculous. You know, the NFL told them, you know, as long as this is 10 years older, it'll probably get, you know, we got to test it, but it'll probably get approved. They didn't approve it. It was, you know, it was an eight-year-old helmet. Didn't get approved. Now we're looking at a five-year-old helmet. I don't know how a five-year-old helmet can't be approved in the NFL, especially one that people have been playing with. I mean, how are they to tell their players, oh, yeah, that helmet you've been using wasn't safe enough? But when you were using it, it was safe. But it's not safe. It's a very strange conundrum going on with the NFL and their helmets. I don't get why Antonio Brown can't sign a waiver or just he can't wear the helmet he wants. Kind of goes against my philosophy of life. Just, you know, as long as it's not affecting anyone else, how is it a problem? So I understand legal issues with it, but you can sign a waiver. There's ways to get around that. But it doesn't look like we're going to see Antonio Brown on the practice field anytime soon. It's going to take a few days, you know, to get this helmet evaluated. Even though they were pretty quick to the last one, so maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be done by the end of today. Maybe it'll be done by the end of tomorrow. But we'll have to check. And I'm just ready for this to be over with. I just want to see Antonio Brown not making the media – not being the top story on ESPN every single day. That would be great because it's boring to me. This helmet situation is not fun to talk about. It's not fun to theorize or, you know, put into scope. But that's where we're at. That's what we do. You know, we talk about everything. So, but one thing, I keep seeing this narrative that the Raiders have already paid him $30 million and that what if he retires? Well, that money is guaranteed based on one thing and one thing only, that he plays or is on the team, right? That he plays and or not injured, right? So if he's injured, yes, they're still going to be paying that money. But if he's just not playing because of a helmet, they don't have to pay him that money. He's holding out. He is, you know, he is actually going to owe the Raiders back that money if he were to walk this away from this, which they will get. You will believe that. The Raiders, if Antonio Brown just doesn't play because of a helmet, they're getting back their money. You can take that to the bank. So there's no way Antonio Brown's not going to be playing week one, is, which is why I kind of bring this up. He's not going to give back the money because I'm sure he's already spent some of it. I know I hear he's pretty good with his money, so he does like to spend his money, but he's good with it. He saves it. He invests it. So he's not going to not play, which is my main thing here. Antonio Brown's going to play for the Raiders this year and the next season for one reason only, because he already got the money to play. So he's already been paid, so he's not going to sit out the season and have to give the money back. That would be stupid. That would be ironic, moronic. It would not be good. So Antonio Brown's going to be playing this year and next season for the Raiders. He's not going to retire. He's already said that. He's said it multiple times in other ways that if he can't get a helmet going, that this isn't going to stop him, that he'll just have to use a new helmet. Also, Jerry Rice sent him a picture of a helmet. It's a Viscis helmet, V-I-C-I-S. I don't know if it's Jerry Rice's brand or if he's just involved in the company in a way, but it looked like it had a lot more, peripheral views than the newer helmets, but while it still meets all the regulations. So I don't know why Antonio Brown hasn't looked into this or why I haven't seen anyone talk about this on any news station or anything, but why hasn't he tried this new helmet? It's if Jerry Rice is saying, hey, try this out, I made it so you can't see, I made it for the receiver, to be able to look back at the ball. Maybe you should try it out. Maybe he'll like it. But I've also heard reports that it's not only about the view, it's actually about the way he looks, which is, just total ridiculous. You can't care about what you look like, Antonio Brown, on the field. You just got to care about balling. Because if you're balling, no one cares what your helmet looks like. If you're going out there and dancing in the end zone once or twice a game, nobody's going to care. So he's got plenty of options. I can't see him missing any real time this season. Not because of a helmet. If anything, it'd be because of an injury or something else. But he's not going to miss time. He's not going to give the money back to the Raiders. Antonio Brown's going to be there week one, and I'm not going to talk about it again until then. But moving on, I think the biggest story of the weekend, every time I think about it more, I realize it's more and more impactful. Derwin James. He had a stress fracture in his foot, which is hard, very, very hard to heal. When you get those, I know a lot of time it's harder for, linemen and stuff just because they're so big. That being on their feet, it takes longer for it to heal. But you got a guy like Derwin James, man. He is all go all the time. Huge grinder, huge work, huge work ethic. He's a baller, brings that ferocity to defense. He was their leader as a rookie, and I don't know what they're going to do without him. Because they are very young secondary. They're very talented, but they are very young. So his voice, his mental makeup to lead that team cannot be understated. It cannot be, matched. You can't just fill that in. I'm sure they had plenty of depth in the secondary. So they're going to be able to replace him with someone at least decent. But, God, the Chargers have some of the worst luck when it comes to injuries. They were devastated last year at the linebacker position. The year before, the entire team seemed like it was going down. And now you got Derwin James out for, extended period of time. I really feel for him, even though I'm a Raiders fan and I don't like the Chargers, but I love Derwin James. I wanted the Raiders to draft him so bad 2018. And you just see this go down. Derwin James is one of the best safety statistically, when it comes to like PFF grades. And he's the leader, he sets the tone. So I think the Chargers might, this could really impact their playoff chances. They're a good team, but with Melvin Gordon and Derwin James, these are two of their leaders. You can't just keep losing leaders and expect everything to be good. This is distractions. These are hard to overcome. Just more adversity for the LA Chargers. So hopefully they can get back on course. Hopefully Derwin's a stud, and he's been in every aspect of his career so far. And he comes back, you know, middle of the season, and he's able to just kill it. But it's a hard injury because you have to stay off your feet for it to injure. And by then, you know, if you wait that time to heal, then you got to get back in playing shape. So I hope to see Derwin back out there, but it's huge impact on the Chargers. It's definitely going to have an impact when I'm talking my division winners and playoff predictions, which will be coming up here within the next week and a half. But get well, Derwin. Glad to see you. Also, over the weekend, I think it was on Friday, we got news that Ezekiel Elliott was on a plane to Dallas or Houston. Is the contract coming soon? I don't know. I know I've been hearing all these reports raving about Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is not Ezekiel Elliott. Don't even think. I mean, he can't do 80% of what Ezekiel Elliott does. And I've watched it. I watched every snap he's taken. Yes, he has some nice moves. But the tacklers he's been going against have been so bad. I mean, they can't make leg tackles, like, at all. Like, they cannot. They get right there. They just bounce. They're just like, oh, no, I don't know how to tackle. Look, Tony Pollard had a nice couple of runs in the preseason game behind the number one offensive line going up against the number two defense for the Rams. They didn't play starters, so I'm not buying into Tony Pollard being the replacement that doesn't allow the Cowboys to pay Zeke. I think it's ridiculous. Another thing that's underestimated is Zeke is one hell of a blocker. I mean, Zeke's great in the blocking game. He was at Ohio State. The dude could block since he's one of the best blocking running backs, three down backs. So why does everyone think that, oh, well, we got Tony Pollard, we could do this, the offense isn't going to miss a beat? I don't know if anyone, you know, I didn't watch it happen live, but Emmitt Smith held out because Jerry didn't want to make him the highest paid running back. They lost the first few games of the season, and that contract got done very quickly. So I can see a very similar thing happening. You know, Dak's going to have more of a load. Dak's going to have more pressure. That's going to lead to more mistakes. You know, Dak isn't this top five quarterback they're wanting him to get paid as. I don't care who you are. I don't care what his numbers say. It's an eye test. Dak's not top five quarterback. Dak's good. Dak's not top five quarterback. He wasn't good without any help, any receivers. You know, Amari Cooper is nice. But if you don't have Zeke, guess what they're going to do? They're going to take him away. They're going to double team him. Amari's not going to beat those double teams. I would rather overpay Zeke than I would overpay Dak. And that's simply on just me talking as a fan. But it's also me talking as someone who knows the game of football. Dak Prescott. Right now in the NFL, there are more elite quarterbacks than there are elite running backs. You can find an elite quarterback very easy after this season. There's going to be just a bevy of quarterbacks that are not only, you know, rookie quarterbacks coming to the NFL, but a lot of teams already have quarterbacks and are going to be letting, you know, some of them go. We can see guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, all hit the open market next season. I mean, they could all be in free agency just because their teams didn't want them and wanted to move on. Oh, also Andy Dalton. So there are guys that can replace Zeke or Dak that are going to be less of a drop-off than what you're going to have replacing Zeke. And Zeke is so – you can't see how hard it is to replace Zeke until we start getting these games played, until they're just – they don't – you know, they're not – sitting there, eight-man boxes, and Dak Scott can throw it over the top with ease because there's no one sitting back there waiting. That's not going to happen if Zeke's not there. You know, Tony Pollard's, he looks good. He's a smaller back. And linebackers now are fast. You can't just run around everyone. You got to run through some people. You got to know how to hit the hole. You got to have vision. And, well, I like Tony Pollard. He's not Zeke. That's all I can think is he's not Zeke, and there's no way this offense is going to run as good. And I'm not paying Dak $30 million. I can't believe he turned that down. Like, every day that shocks me that Dak Prescott turned down $30 million a year for some reason. Like, does Dak want to hit the open market? Like, I don't think he understands the way the open market works, because no one's making the Kirk Cousins mistake again. No one's paying you 20. I mean, Kirk Cousins got paid $28 million a year, and he's not worth it. And the Vikings learned that within the first three games. So the other NFL took notice, and they're not going to overpay. I mean, look who the guys have gotten paid. Aaron Rodgers, talked about as one of the greatest talented quarterbacks of all time. Russell Wilson, redefined the quarterback position, one of the best scrambling quarterbacks, deep throw quarterbacks of all time. Carson Wentz, he had one of the greatest seasons we've seen as a second-year player, go down to injury, but he's all they got, you know. The Eagles went all in on Carson Wentz. They moved up in the draft to get him. They used a lot of picks. They're going to go all in on him. They gave up Nick Foles. The Eagles had to go all in on Carson Wentz. And now you have Dak. Doesn't fit. I mean, he doesn't fit in the group. Yes, I know Dak's numbers are better than Wentz, but if we had a whole, you know, Wentz is a better thrower than Dak Prescott. I can't say it any better, simpler. He can throw the ball better. It's an eye test. It's not a stats thing. You can't just sit here and say, oh, well, the numbers. And I'm a math major. I deal with numbers all the time. It's not always about the numbers. Sometimes you have to look with your eyes. You have to see. You have to know what's better. Plus, I mean, Carson Wentz has never played with a running back like Zeke. If we put Wentz on the Cowboys, they'd be my Super Bowl lock right now if Zeke was there. And I don't think they would have no problem paying him the $32 million. But you cannot pay Dak. You can't. You can't pay Dak $32 million. You can't pay Dak $30 million. Let him hit the open market. And then let him crawl back to you for $25. Because that's what's going to happen. But the Eagles are preparing for Carson Wentz's, you know, if he has another injury. They got Josh McCown, veteran, backup quarterback who can learn the offense quick. He understands football really well and could help Carson Wentz grow. I really like the pickup, you know. Spacing on his name, went down. Easton Stick, was it? Yeah, I think it was Easton Stick, went down with a broken leg. He broke something, but that's why they need a backup quarterback in Philadelphia. So they got Josh McCown. I really like the pickup, and hopefully we don't see him, because I like Carson Wentz. I want to see what he does with the full season under his belt. Going on, we got to see two of the top rookie running backs this week in preseason, which was nice. That's David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs. I'll start with Montgomery. He looks good. I mean, dude's got bowling balls for, you know, he looks like a bowling ball out there. Great legs, just good size. He's elusive for a size too, and the vision looks really good. You know, he was able to find the holes, bounce it outside, and surprisingly used him a lot in the passing game. So, if I'm looking at fantasy for David Montgomery, his value rose this week while Tariq Cohen's dropped. And it probably dropped more than he rose. But, I mean, I was just shocked at how much they were getting him into the passing game. Looks like they want him to be a three-down back, which, I mean, if you go back to Kansas City liked to use a three-down back. They didn't like to bring a back on third down, which is where Matt Nagy comes from, is that Kansas City organization. The Andy Reid philosophy. So I'm expecting Tariq Cohen's carries to go down drastically and his catches to go down drastically, because David Montgomery looks like a real deal. I didn't see elite attributes, but he runs, you know, he runs falling forward, you know, he runs with his pads going forward. He's got good vision and he can move. I mean, which as a big, he's a little bigger back, you know, especially than Tariq Cohen. So he can run over people. He can go outside. He can find the hole. He can cut. He can move. I like what I saw from David Montgomery. If you're looking to draft him, I mean, if he's available late third, fourth round, he might be worth it. He might be worth the draft pick, because he's going to be he's going to be given the ball. You know, they're going to try to get Mitch Trubisky. They like to do a lot of play action. And to do that, they got to run the ball. They got to establish the run. And they'll help Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky's not the best quarterback. You know, he works really well in the scheme, and he can move well, which is why he did so good, why he got them to the playoffs last year, along with that number one defense. But with David Montgomery, they can keep them off the field. If they can keep the ball rolling, they're going to pound the rock. So I like David Montgomery. He's got a good upside, and he looks good. And he wasn't playing with the starters. The Chicago Bears actually rested all of their starters in their preseason game, all 22 of them. So he was playing behind, you know, not the best offensive line, you know, and he got the job done. So look to draft David Montgomery. Next is Josh Jacobs. I didn't see much from Josh Jacobs, but I loved what I saw. He burst through that line of scrimmage every single time. He was going to get positive yardage every time. That seemed like his goal. It's like, okay, I'm going to get to the line, and then I'm going to be a little more patient, and I'm going to find my crease. And he found it. He found the right creases. He cut back. He's patient. He has good balance. And one of the things I love to see from running backs is they don't get stood up. I don't think David Montgomery or Josh Jacobs got stood up once in their runs. They finish falling forward. They get, you know, 6 foot tall. That's 2 extra yards if you're just able to go where you are and fall all the way forward. That's huge for your average. That's huge for stats. If you're able to get the 2 extra yards every single time or 3 extra yards, I mean, you can't understand how big that is for these running backs. So I loved what I saw from Josh Jacobs. Didn't see him much in the passing game, but I'm sure we will. He looks like a 3-down back. You know, Gruden doesn't want to give him much away what he's going to do, and he wants to keep his running back healthy. You know, Josh Jacobs coming as a very rare Alabama prospect. Most of the time, Alabama ran their running backs into the ground. Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, they all ran the hell out of the ball. Jacobs didn't. He was on probably the most talented running back group I've ever seen, ever. I mean, Najee Harris is one of the best running back prospects to come out of high school in the last 15 years. Barely even got to see the field the first 2 years in Alabama because of how talented they were with Damien Williams, Bo Scarborough, and Josh Jacobs. So, and he got drafted before all of them for a reason. There were tons of teams that wanted him. That's why the Raiders took him at 24 and not 27, because they were worried that someone was going to come up and get him. I love Josh Jacobs. I'm drafting him. I mean, if I've got, you know, if I get the first couple picks in the draft, that means I'll be drafting late second, early third. I'm looking at Josh Jacobs right there, because if I can get, you know, I can get a top running back at the start of the first and then pair him with a good wide receiver, and Josh Jacobs has upside to be, you know, a top 5, top 10 running back in the league, which is, if you're in fantasy, if you got a 2 top 10 running backs, you're gonna be making, you know, tremendous. You're gonna be getting a lot of points through there, and you can find wide receivers later in the rounds. I mean, I like drafting, you know, my first 3 picks, 2 running backs and a receiver, and then with the next few picks, you know, next 3 picks, I'll usually go 2 receivers and then a running back. I might even go 3 receivers if I really like the receivers that are on the board and I don't like the running back value. So that's just my philosophy. Also, you got to look at top tight ends, but I don't draft quarterbacks before the 7th round. It's just Patrick Mahomes was one of the first quarterbacks I ever saw. Last year I saw value in, you know, and so now if I see Patrick Mahomes maybe slip to the 3rd round, I might take him, but I'm not targeting my first couple rounds. But I definitely, within the first 4 rounds, will be targeting David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs. I'd value Josh Jacobs over David Montgomery, but that's just me. You might like someone else. And then I would stay away, just looking at quarterbacks, I would stay away from Kyler Murray. Their team is bad. their receivers aren't great. Besides, you know, Fitzgerald's a monster. I watched, there was a game on ESPN Classic the other day. I think it was yesterday, actually, or 2 days ago. So Saturday night, it was Miami and Pittsburgh. And in 2004, Miami was loaded. They had like Sean Taylor, Willis McGahee, Andre Johnson, Kellen Winslow. They had won like 31 games in a row. And they're going up against Pittsburgh, which the only pro I noticed was Larry Fitzgerald. And their whole red zone offense was just thrown up to Larry. See if he comes down with it. And he was awesome. I mean, honestly, it was great. I love watching, you know, early 2000s college football because it was physical and there were some playmakers on the game, you know. Watching Fitz, I remember, you know, that was kind of when I first started getting into college football and I wanted the Raiders to draft Larry Fitzgerald. I was like, oh, you've got to draft Fitzgerald. We didn't have receivers. Tim Brown and Jerry Rice were, you know, leaving the team, getting really, you know, in their 40s. So I wanted them to draft him, ended up going to Arizona, but it was cool to watch. Anyway, go ahead, check my Instagram page. It's at the Field Report NFL on Instagram. And I got rookie quarterback evaluations from week 2. You can watch those, hear all about my thoughts on them. And yeah, but otherwise, have a great day.